Good evening, everyone. We'll do the pledge first. Chuck, how about reading? How about doing that?
Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chuck. Roll call. Let the record show that Leo Hordick is not present tonight. All other directors are here. And the agenda approval. Steve, I always forget. Is this for last time or is it for this?
It's for this for the board to take the proper procedure would be for the chair to entertain a motion and second to approve the agenda as written.
Okay.
And staff has any changes.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor of the agenda, say aye.
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 All opposed? All right. The agenda is approved. First order of business is public comments. Come on up to the mic, John.
Really not a CSD issue, but an ongoing issue. It's happened again. Today, my wife and I were driving to Fontana. We drove down the 138 at the intersection of the freeway, near the freeway, at the Shell and 76 station. An 18-wheeler ran that stop sign again, crashed into the Shell station, and flipped over. They didn't say anything on the news about whether there was any injuries or deaths, but we know we've had a multitude of both of those in the last few years. And apparently the news did say that Caltrans is not going to do anything about this until at least 2020. We talked about it while they were widening the road. We went to all the Caltrans meetings. We thought maybe they could make a loop out of that off-ramp where it would head stop at the 76 station, and then people would turn left, et cetera, et cetera. But that wasn't in the budget. So, again, we've got a major problem there, and so I don't know whether it killed anybody or injured anybody. Haven't heard.
Yeah, there was one.
But it's a real disaster, and we need to, if you write your congressman or senators or assemblymen, why, we need to address that issue, plus the widening of the bridges for the railroad there, so we can have four lanes up and down 138 and try and make that at least a little safer section in there, too. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Yeah, come on up to.
My name is Stretch Suma. I'm with CERC. I'm the Division C supervisor. And last night, other supervisors and myself had a meeting. And I'm to represent CERC before the district just to give you some information. I hope you know what CERT is, Community Emergency
Response
Team.
Sorry.
Right. We had a meeting last week with the new San Bernardino County EOS supervisor for CERT. He assured us, and this is just a matter of passing on information, that anytime an organized CERT meeting is held, whether it be here in the community building or at the museum for just the supervisors, all of that is covered under the county insurance, liability, things like that. And we had, you know how rumors are in Wrightwood, we had heard that maybe there might be a charge for CERT to use this building and the museum for our monthly meetings and our monthly supervisors meetings. Don't know if that's true or not. Just as a representative, I would like to say we represent the city of Wrightwood and our local chapter. We are covered by the county as far as any organized meeting goes, and just an assurance that we love working for the city, and in case of emergency we hope to be a go-between between the professional people, first responders, and the community, because we've all been trained in different aspects and things like that. So we'd just like to say we hope we can work with you as a service district in our in the role that we play for CERT. And really, that's just it. Just
okay.
Kind of an introduction.
Okay.
No one has done that.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
We're, one thing right now we're having a problem with our chapter is Ed and Bonnie, who had run the CERT chapter for many, many years, have stepped down. We are without a, quote, director right now of any type, and we as supervisors are trying the best we can to continue things the way they have been. Ed and Bonnie were great doing it, but no one has stepped forward to take that over. I have been in contact with a man named John Ferndon, who is the new county representative. I emailed him today hoping to get some other equipment we had taken away from us in the last year and a half.
Okay.
I guess if the district needs a representative from CERT for questions, I'll volunteer for that. And again, I'm in contact with John Ferndon, who is the new EOS representative.
Okay. What? I'm sorry. What does EOS stand for?
Emergency Office Services.
Okay.
OES.
Oh, they changed it. Okay.
Office of Emergency Services, San Bernardino County Fire.
Okay.
So that's basically it. Just a representative, sir.
Thanks, Stretch.
Anybody else? Okay, let's move on to agency reports. We have the Sheriff's Department here.
Good evening. I'm Sergeant Robert Picari with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Here in the community of Wrightwood, for the month of February, we had 126 calls for service, and there were a total of 8 reports taken, 2 arrests made. Your high number for calls for service were vehicle checks were 20, extra patrols were 15, traffic stops were 12, and area checks were in at 10. In the West Cajon Valley, there were a total of 19 calls for service and 3 reports taken, and there was nothing notable.
Okay.
We expected a pretty heavy storm this past weekend that kind of fizzled out. I guess you guys live here, so you know. We had 3 units that we sent up here for Saturday.
I saw them. I saw them driving around town. It was great.
Yep, we had 3 units on Saturday, and we were still expecting a lot of people coming up for Sunday, and we had 2 on Sunday, but we didn't get the snow or the people, so they left early.
But yeah, I did see them driving around town, checking all the, you know, they were looking at all the rentals or, you know, obviously cabins or and that sort of thing up here. I saw that. It was great.
Yep, and they also told me they took the Humvee out and drove that around town also.
I didn't see that one.
Okay.
That's
I
good.
Heard it's pretty uncomfortable to ride in, so
yeah.
I just come up and ride that. But yeah, they had the Humvee out on Saturday.
Okay.
But nothing really notable happened from the weekend, and it was more or less just keeping the peace.
Okay. We have a local website up here, right with Calif, and I noticed just a lot of traffic on the crime thread. Just a lot of break-ins, and it just seems like a lot. Am I imagining that?
Don't believe everything you read on social media.
Well, this is reported. This is off the something official. It just seems like it's increasing.
We were experiencing a lot of vehicle thefts up into the month of December,
mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of reports in the Phelan area of people going around on quads and UTVs,
yeah.
And we did catch a chop shop that was over off of Phelan
that.
Road,
yeah.
And that seemed to slow that problem, at least those calls for service and those types of complaints.
It actually cut it back.
What's that?
It actually cut it back.
Oh, it cut it back significantly.
Huh. Okay.
One of the things, if you guys are familiar, when you're driving through Phelan, there may be a female that you see walking around Sheep Creek and Phelan Road.
Yeah.
You'll recognize her. She's wearing a tank top, shorts, and she's barefooted.
Yes.
She is on a spiritual mission. She doesn't want any help. If you bag up all of your nice stuff and take it to her, she'll leave it right on the side of the road like everybody else. Just be aware we get complaints about her that she's crazy, and she's not crazy. I don't know how she would deal with you, but for me, she's extremely polite. She knows exactly what she's doing, and she lives out in the desert, and she likes to walk Phelan Road, Sheep Creek, and she'll just do laps for 6 or 7 hours a day. So if you see her, we're fully aware, and she's got all her faculties, and she's doing exactly what she wants to do.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other agencies?
Oh, God, yes.
Hi, good evening. My name is Carl Higley, Captain of the San Bernardino County Fire Department. Station 14 is my assignment, B shift. Chief Anderson would have been here today. She apologizes and sent me in her absence. As you heard, there was that catastrophe down at 138 in the 15 freeway. She is still there. Asked about fatalities, two critical injuries, driver and passenger. The report we had was a loss of brakes coming off the off-ramp. So just kind of be aware. As far as notable incidents, we did have a visitor weekend. We did have our normal call volume as well as some additional sledding accidents, and we did fly out an 8-year-old with a head injury and a 14-year-old with a hip fracture. So, and those were both sleds into trees. You know, they line up as much as they can on the snow they can see. Fortunately, it points right to a tree. Not good. This morning we had a young lady fall down an ice chute that we had to use rope rescue to retrieve her. Minor injuries, a fractured ankle. As far as call volume, we're averaging anywhere between 5 and 6 a day. Now, this is one that you guys might find surprising. We're still getting small brush fires. Right weather, right wind conditions. The one great thing about being in Wrightwood is everybody is so proactive. They see smoke and they call. And so we're right on it immediately. And that's been really a gift. So not wet enough yet. We really could use more of the white stuff, as well as all the businesses in town. It's kind of heartbreaking, but, you know, it's the weather. It's kind of fickle. That's about it. Does anybody have any questions or comments or thoughts?
Behind you.
There it is. Yes, sir.
In Big Bear this week, they're going to do controlled burns.
Yes.
Are we doing any here?
We are not.
I know you're not.
Forest Service has been. They've been doing it a little more towards Inspiration Point, and they're out of the San Dimas area, but they're up high, so you might see smoke from that. But again, when in doubt, don't chance it. Call us. We'll know whether there's a burn or not. Any other questions?
Looks like they were doing some burns down on 138, where the little park is, where they lost all those trees. Are they, is that the forestry?
Yeah, forestry is doing some burns down there as well, and they're just trying to clean up in the burn scar area.
Any idea what started the brush fires?
We always say mice with matches or lightning. They tend to be illegal burns where people are trying to clean up their properties. They don't have enough sense to think it's going to burn this late in the season. The wind comes up, picks them up, puts them into the brush, and it starts moving. So luckily,
these were up in Wrightwood or down?
Both. Wrightwood along the 2 and along the 138. But as you know, all can affect Wrightwood at any time. So, and unfortunately, we're getting probably one a day. Kind of weird that this, you know, time of year. So any other questions, comments?
Do you know where the location was where the person fell down the ice chute?
It was off Table Mountain.
Okay.
She was walking her hybrid wolf dog.
Oh, okay.
And she was a visitor from Huntington Beach, and she's doing fine. She did break her ankle, but she's doing fine. The 8-year-old with the head trauma that we flew to Loma Linda, doing really well.
Good.
So, yeah, those trees are pretty unforgiving.
Yeah.
What did you guys do with a hybrid wolf dog? Did you call? Was she by herself?
She was. And through our help with the co-op with the San Bernardino County Sheriff, they helped us
get a little babysitter for that wolfhound, and then she was able to get somebody up there to take care of it.
Wow.
But that is a big, very friendly, but skittish dog. Beautiful.
I don't know how they call it a dog. But really gorgeous. So, any other questions or comments? Okay.
Thank you so much. Thanks very much. Any other agencies? See anybody? Okay. All right, let's move on to the consent calendar. Did everybody or anybody check the minutes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're fine. Mm-hmm.
Minutes are good?
Yeah.
Disbursements? Chuck, go look at that, and that looks all right?
Yeah. Less checks this month.
That's good. Well, maybe. Okay.
I didn't see anything out of the order on these.
All right. Can I have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
So moved.
I'll second that.
All in favor of the accepting the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Consent calendar carries. Item 7, General Manager Report.
Good evening. Yeah, I've got my written report. Just a couple of highlights. I did see the WAFCO on the progress of the CSD. They'd like to know how we're doing. So that type of a discussion. Also on a few other items. But I met with the tax assessor's office. They were very friendly, very, very helpful. They explained some things to me that I wasn't quite sure about. Next year, the assessment numbers will be, right now we have like two sets of assessment numbers. One that deals with 56, CSA 56 that were around before, and one deals with the new CSD, and the 56 numbers will be gone and everything will be transformed into the new CSD. So we'll only have one set of numbers to have to look at. Director Franklin and I visited Cummings CPA, and we had a nice discussion about the QuickBooks. The QuickBooks system is actually up and running now. Michelle and I have been looking at it and doing some learning, and I think we're going to be doing some input. She's working on right now, Michelle's working on right now, the billing. And since we already have it set up in the old method, we'll probably end up doing that, because she still needs to build certain accounts.
You mean for the billing for the rent
facility
for the facility stuff,
right.
and that's an online QuickBooks, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And then wanted to thank President Zuber. We had some of the staff from UIA upgrade our computer and add new software, which is really helpful. We're in the process of doing a transition to bring the solid waste information over to this computer, and I think that upgrade was really important for that transfer.
Well, to be able to make the dump cards here.
Absolutely.
So I can stop doing that.
Exactly. You have other things to do.
That sounds great.
And but also, you know, the system is really much quicker and easier to use. Let's see here. Pretty much covered that. And
facility fee structure?
The facility fee structure, you have it in the packet tonight. So, you know, these are our ideas. You can still massage them if you need. If you do accept them this evening, then we can start the process of implementing everything real quick, because we need to change the keys. Everybody has a new key. We're going to have assigned alarm codes, so every entity has assigned alarm codes, because right now we have one alarm code that everybody uses, and I have no idea who's here, who's not here. I get alarm messages on my phone for every time somebody comes in and out, and I have no clue unless I know that they're on the calendar. But there are some times that people come in here that are not on the calendar. So, really looking forward to implementing that and improving our security. And then I had a call from Principal John Gardner from the elementary school over here. Meeting with him tomorrow morning. And what he was asking about, with all this information, things going on with the schools, shootings and other things that are happening at schools, he wanted to be able to use this particular facility as an emergency facility if they need. Let's just give the scenario that they have some sort of shooting at Brightwood Elementary. Most shooting scenarios deal with inside the buildings. If they had children out in the playground and teachers out in the playground, they would want to come over here. So I'm going to work things out with him on that because I think that this is a good idea.
So are they going to have drills or something where they, you know, get all the kids to come over and
We'll be discussing.
You'll have to work
tomorrow.
That out. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And that's about it.
Thank you, Al.
I would also like to thank Al. I have received some contracts, although we're still waiting on septic control, but we've got three or four of them now, so that'll help, and we will be working on the budget. There's a few things that still need to be added on the chart of account and those type of things. But
okay.
Overall, it's moving ahead now. I think we're... good. I'm still waiting, though, for the actual versus the budget.
Yeah, I do want
to... will be very important to
I do want to talk about that here on item 10 a little bit more. Okay. Well, thank you, Al.
I have a question, Al. Was there anything notable from your meeting with LAFCO as far as our progress? Are we on track? Did they express any concern or do...
We're pretty much on track. The things that Kathleen Lawrence McDonald, the executive officer for LAFCO, mentioned, I'm glad you brought this up. Annually, there's a review of special districts or CSDs from LAFCO to kind of make sure that everything's kind of honky dory and okay, fine. That's not her terminology, that's mine. But for them to do that this coming fiscal year for us, by the time that we have our audit done and taken care of, it'll probably be too late because they have a timeline. So she's going to go to the Board of Supervisors and ask that this be put off until next year so that we have time to do our audit and they have time to do the job.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. All right, thank you, Al. Item 8, Chris Palmer, California Special Districts Association.
Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Chris Palmer. I'm the Public Affairs Field Coordinator for the California Special Districts Association. General Manager Morissette asked me to come up here and speak to you all real briefly because you're brand new members of CSDA and welcome to the family. And we have tons of benefits that I just wanted to briefly share with you. I did leave you a pack of information. But before I get started, I want to thank the crowd here. I've gone to over 400 special districts over the last 3 years. And I've gone to districts a little bigger than this one and with a tenth of the attendance. And because at the end of the day...
That doesn't mean they're all happy.
Well, I think... But they're involved here, right? And at the end of the day, the district's business is the people's business. So I applaud all of you spending your Wednesday or Tuesday evening here. So thanks for being here because it makes the district even that much stronger with local community support and input. So briefly, I just wanted to share what I do. I'm based in Huntington Beach. I was not with the woman that fell down the ice chute. So it was about 40 degrees warmer where I was. I forgot to bring a jacket. Al did remind me, but I didn't. I represent the Southern Network, which you guys fall in, and I'm basically a liaison.
between you and CSDA. So if you have any questions when it comes to any of these things that I'll talk about, my card is in there. I'm a resource for you. So please feel free to contact me with any types of questions. The first thing that we really focus on for our members, by the way, we have over 1,200 members statewide. We represent all special districts, CSDs, fire protection, water, mosquito and vector, harbor, airport, cemetery, on and on and on. So one of the main things that we really provide our members is legislative advocacy. And our niche is that we cover policy issues that are overarching for all special districts. Human resources, infrastructure, governance, finance and taxation, all those things that impact all special districts. Obviously, the water districts have AQUA. Every other has kind of their own state association. We cover everybody. And we cover those issues that those other state associations don't. You do have a full team, a full advocacy team up in Sacramento at your disposal. We have 4 registered lobbyists. We have a legislative analyst. And we're there to help you answer questions about legislation. Maybe it's a court case you're concerned about. Anything that's happening up in Sacramento, we have resources for you. And I'm happy to connect you with the appropriate lobbyists with the appropriate policy issue that you're asking about. I may not know the answers, but I know somebody that does. And so we do all kinds of, we meet with our legislators. We have legislative days, which is our big kind of stomp the Capitol event in May. And last year we met, we had over 225 attendees, and we visited 86 legislative districts. And this may be hard to believe, but a lot of legislators do not know what special districts are. You guys are almost a victim of your own success, because unless there's a problem, they don't know. They know what cities are and counties. Special districts, they just aren't aware. So part of our job is to really help educate our legislators as well. And last year, we focused a lot of time on the Little Hoover Commission that did a report on special districts. And we started, they didn't know anything about special districts. So we had people on the commission saying, just get rid of them all. We had someone say, just get, consolidate them all with, counties and cities. We're all about local control. And then we also had someone out of San Diego said that every special district should go before the voters every 10 years. Imagine trying to get long-term financing or employee retention. Those are just some of the things that we focus on legislatively, and we're there at your disposal. Professional development is another huge thing. Speaking of the Little Hoover Commission, back in 2000, they had a report saying, we don't know about special districts. Their executives, their boards, their trustees just aren't up to snuff in their opinion. So CSDA started the Special District Leadership Academy, which provides probably the kind of the recognized leader in training for trustees and directors when it comes to governance, accountability, financial responsibility, those types of things. I'm going to assume this district has an operating budget probably under $8 million. you guys are eligible.
You're making fun of us now.
Well, not yet. Maybe sometime in the future, right? Right now, you're eligible for those all types of scholarships for our professional development opportunities. We don't pay for travel, but we do take care of registration fees and those types. And some of this money goes unused. And I know General Manager Morissette's familiar with this, and there's a lot of opportunities for you guys to use that money and take advantage of that, because, like I said, a lot of people don't. And it's a great opportunity for you guys to get a lot of good education. We also host tons of webinars. We have a lot of on-demand webinars, which is on our website. We do lots of workshops. We have a board secretary clerk conference. We have a GM summit. So we try again on a professional development, do events that cover all special districts, both large and small. The third thing is information and communication. Our website, which just got revamped, is now online, just started this week. All kinds of information. You guys probably don't have your access codes to it. I'd be happy to work with General Manager Morissette to make sure you guys get those access to the website. We have great tools on there. For a new district like you guys, we do have a sample document library, which provides literally probably 100 policy examples and policies that other districts across the state have posted on here. There's no need for you guys to reinvent the wheel on a lot of this stuff. It's probably already been done. And a lot of these documents are there where you can just use that template, plug in your kind of stuff, and it'll save you a lot of time and effort and money.
That's neat.
that is a huge resource for you guys, especially for a lot of smaller districts that just don't have the staff to develop those policies on their own. So it's a great resource. We also have a thing called Listserv, which is an email-based subscription that we have for special districts. We have about 350 subscribers across the state. You can send an email saying, hey, we're doing an RFP on XYZ project. We don't know how to do that. Does someone have a template? And all these people start chiming in and saying, yes, we just did that last week, and here's what we did. And so
does it get archived, and is there a website that you can search for for previous listserv queries?
Okay. Yes. And the sample document library, usually a lot of those things that you're speaking to get transferred over to the document library.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there's all kinds of issues on there.
Is this the website the district makes a difference?
Actually, it's csda.net, which is on my card, which is inside the folder there. Like I said, we just revamped the website, and we can get you that access information. I'll make sure I work with Al on that in the next few days. And we also... So those are kind of the big things. Obviously, social media. We encourage you guys to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, do those things. Add me to any type of news distribution email list that you have, because we like that information. I was looking at your wall over here that you guys had a recent project completed, and you have all these accolades. You know, let us know this stuff. We're hungry for good information. We want to show off what our districts do, and because a lot of people just don't know. And part of our job is to help promote you guys and make sure that we are showing legislators, media, constituents that you guys are doing great work. The last thing is our member benefits, and I know you've already taken advantage of the Special District Risk Management Authority as far as your insurance goes. We have website hosting. I noticed that is on your agenda tonight. We do have a business partner called Streamline. They provide basically a 50% discount on website hosting and creation. Mm. And the templates are really cool because Streamline knows all the legislative compliance issues that you guys have to have on your websites. And they designed this template where it literally pulls up on the left-hand side a checkbox. And it automatically updates, like, okay, you're deficient in this one, but you've met this compliance issue. And it's really easy to use, really cheap. I don't know what your annual operating budget is. I know there's some scholarships for districts under $200,000. I don't know if that applies to you yet. That's something I could talk to Al about. But we have scholarships for this.
What was the name of that again?
Streamline is what it's called. And the contact information I can give to your general manager as well. And like I said, they've done literally hundreds of special district websites, primarily smaller districts that just don't have an IT department and don't have that staffing. They can help you kind of really navigate your way through that, and they will host and help you design your websites and get you started on all that kind of stuff. We also have finance programs available when you get to that point if you need it. We have purchasing cards. We have travel discounts. And I've included a list of all those benefits in your sheets there. That includes contact information for the website hosting, Streamline, as well as all those other member benefits. So,
okay.
I know I totally went off my public comment time, but hopefully I'm not held to that tonight. But I just want to make sure that you guys are fully aware of all the benefits that you have.
Okay.
And we're concerned of districts both of all sizes. And I'm here to help you guys.
Well, really appreciate
it. No problem. Any questions?
Behind you.
Oh, yes. Approximately how many CSDs in San Bernardino County?
I'd have to look that up, but I know there's over 80 special districts in San Bernardino County. How many are CSDs? I'm not sure. As you know, San Bernardino County is huge.
Yes.
We have quite a few CSDs. I can't give you an accurate number, but easily double digits. Easily double digits. So I visited quite a few of them, from Barstow Heights to here to Keelan Pinion Hills, and gotten to kind of know a lot of these districts.
Right.
So, yeah, there's quite a few in San Bernardino County.
Anything? All right.
Great. Thank you for
your time. Thank you. Thanks very much, Chris. All right. Item 9, website update, discussion of possible action. So I think, Al, did you get the logo in here?
Yes. There's four of them.
There's four of them. Right. Find it. So there are subtle differences in these logos, but I'd like the board to look at that and see which one they like. So I can tell that. So I can tell the web guy to go ahead. I mean, the site's moving along. It should be done by next meeting.
Well, I'll start on the logo. I don't like any four of them.
Okay.
I think they're boring. I don't think they represent Wrightwood.
Okay.
I would like to see something in the sense we have a dark sky ordinance. Love to see stars.
Okay.
Pine trees. Wrightwood's known for that. The snow on the mountain.
Okay.
You know, maybe not this year, but that's part of it.
Okay.
We have the Pacific Crest Trail here. Those are things that, you know, if we're going to have a logo,
well, you got to be
dealing with.
I will caution against one thing is that if you try to put everything in there, it will look like it'll be hard to see because this logo here is blown up, okay, but it's going to be down like this,
okay,
like a little bigger than a
okay, but
couple of stamps.
Did you see it in color, Chuck?
What's that?
Did you see it in color?
This?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, I didn't. Okay. It's, I mean, the color was green, I mean, for everything. But, you know, I mean, I don't mind if you put a pine tree on there, you put a little snow on these mountains here and use the same thing, but it just seems boring to me. It doesn't represent our town. From my point of view, it's just whatever. I don't know what the other board members think. I won't hold
right.
back.
Okay. All right.
I was going to say that I liked it. I saw it in color, and I thought it was very nice and simple. And
a pine tree or something.
Yeah, and I agree with Chuck. Like, maybe if we could add some snow on the top of the mountains or whatnot. But
okay.
I did think it looked nice in color, and I agree with Wes on the website. It comes up very, very small, so adding a lot of elements.
Did you get a link to the...
No.
Okay,
yeah,
let me
like
send that
no
to
idea.
You, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you might still be as boring, but...
This specific crop of mountains that's shown, was that in any way trying to actually imitate our skyline up here?
Yeah, it is. It actually is.
Okay. I like where it's starting, but I would like to see some more.
Okay.
I mean...
Okay.
I think it could stand to... Definitely have pine trees. That's definitely missing for me.
Okay. So the...
In terms of the four, the differences between these four logos, kind of maybe on the note of what you're saying, that it's going to be shrunk down. So I think the less lines, the better.
Okay.
So I guess my top pick would be the top right corner where there's no extra lines because as it shrinks, it's just going to be... I haven't seen the smaller version.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it online.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it in color, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'd love to see it in color and that. I did not see that.
It was in color.
I don't know. Okay, no problem. I'll send you the link. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll add those. I'll talk to the guy and we'll try
the
to
email,
figure it out.
The email.
Yeah. The email.
If you look at the attachments in the email.
Yeah. For me, there's two main ones. Pine trees is Wrightwood, and the snow on the mountain,
okay.
I think, would be
okay.
good additions.
Fair enough. All right, that's fair enough. Now, the site's coming along just fine. It's going to have a lot of... I'm sorry, John.
On the logo, what will be the approximate size of it when you're finished? The size of a quarter, half dollar?
It's the right size for the website.
It depends on where you're printing it because it can go on invoices, corners of invoices. And
yeah, so
it's
a vector type of drawing, so it can scale up and down, and that's on purpose, so we can fit it on, make it all different sizes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the only thing I was thinking of, I know for the Wrightwood Historical Society, we have little pins that are about just a little size of a quarter, but we're able to put Wrightwood Historical Society on that.
Yeah.
And traditionally, historically in Wrightwood, why we have the words Land of Four Seasons, and that was always
right.
cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to, like I said, the site should be done and functional by the next meeting.
Can I
run
say
it
one
by
thing about the logos? When
sure.
you do... The next round of options.
Yeah.
Would you on the bottom of one of them? Would you add the Land of Four Seasons so we can look at how that looks?
Okay.
Because that is something very unique to
right.
our area of Southern California, or that isn't you know, true in the rest of our.
It's so unique that it stands out on our just having four seasons. Okay.
Right. Have you been in LA for a while yet?
Okay.
And what is the overall on the website? Is this going to be an interactive for the community?
It is, yeah. Okay. So it's going to have a calendar section, so you'll be able to see the right. The community building, you know, the full calendar. We can update it, and it's in real time. So it has an administrative interface, so you can say, okay, the build, and then, you know, it updates on there.
Okay.
It's going to also have a section so that we can upload all the documents for these monthly meetings, all the background material. It goes out right. To everybody on the mailing list automatically.
That's good.
With a link, and then you can also search all the documents from the previous meetings.
What about what Chris was talking about as far as streamline the different legal stuff that we need to have on that?
Yeah.
Are we covered on that?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be tested, right? But, yeah.
Yeah.
So how did that all strike you when Chris was talking about the services they offer around website? I wish we'd known that 2 months ago, or I wish we'd realized it 2 months ago. But
yeah.
That seemed desirable to have the pop-up menus that are reminding us of those elements. But you're halfway through the development of this, so how did that strike you, the information he was...
I think it's fine. I think template-based websites like that are fine. I think they're just fine. And ours will look pretty similar to a lot of these templates, I think. And it's all done in WordPress, so it's standard stuff that anybody can work on. Anybody that's familiar with WordPress, you know, it's... Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Don't put me there.
But it does mean something going forward because it's not a one-off website. You know, it's got all these things in the background that do things for you automatically that a lot of web developers already know how to work on.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it cheaper to maintain.
That's good. I like that portion.
Yeah, because if it's a one-off website, right, it's just like a custom-built house or something. It's a little unique, and it costs extra down the road. Does that make sense?
No.
Okay. All right.
Cheap.
All right.
Okay.
Cheap. Okay. So by next meeting, we should have a run-through. And I'll send everybody a link as we go and explain how it works, okay?
That'd be great. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Any public comments on that? I don't want to forget that. Okay. Item 11, facility rates, discussion and possible action.
Did we miss 10?
Oh, I'm sorry, QuickBooks. QuickBooks update, discussion and possible action. So Al, you gave us a little bit of an update there. And Chuck, I think you worked on this too, right? So...
Well, I sat in on the meeting with Cecilia Cummings, our CPA, who we hired.
Uh-huh.
She does a chart of accounts a little different than what I was expecting, but it's still, you know, acceptable to look through that. That was part of the email that I got.
Mm-hmm. It's not quite done yet, right?
No, because there's a few other sections, I think, that I'd like to add on that chart of accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see, like I said earlier, the actuals versus the budget.
Mm-hmm.
I also like to see the general ledger, those type of things we didn't, you know, come at that point. And those are things that, you know, really we want to work on the 2018-19 budget, but
right.
It would be nice to have that information if we're working on that budget.
Now, I would like to see all that. I really want to see it to be easily compared to the budget. Whatever comes out of the accounting system and it matches the budget,
right.
So we can just look and see where we're at and do a pro forma for the rest of the year
right.
To make sure that we're on track. So when can that be done?
Well, I'll talk with Cecilia and see how she can do that within this particular program. I'm not sure. I'm sure she can do it. I'm just not sure what the timeline is.
Because right now, you know, we're so thin by the end of the year, right? We only have, you know, just on the back of the, or just on our educated guess, you know, we came up with 16 grand left over at the end of the year if everything goes right. well, if we can't see where we're at, we're just going to say no to everything, right? Because we don't know how much money we have or how much we're going to have at the end of the year. Wow. So anything that comes up, like the lights on the stairs or the cement, or I mean anything, you know, I'm going to be inclined to go no, you know, because I don't know how much money we have. So I would say this has got to be a priority.
And the actuals versus the budget would be nice to see month by month by month, starting in July all the way to current, so that we can see what we're doing monthly. Is there stuff that we can move over? Is there stuff, do we have extra revenue here or more expenses here? Those type of things. So like what Wes is saying, to do a pro forma.
It can be pretty simple. It just needs to match.
Nice.
Just needs to have the real stuff match and see where we're at on the budget. Okay, so that's, when do you think we can have that?
Probably by next board meeting.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Can we see it before that? I mean, we don't have to comment. We can just see it.
Well, I don't know. Can I send it off to all the board members?
Yes, with the caveat.
The caveat, yeah, you can't comment. You
know? Right.
I'll just be something that Director Franklin and I will be working on as well, since we're working on the budget.
Yeah, because what I don't want is the long cycle. You know, I like to see it. I like to see how it's going.
Sure.
Okay.
And we do have two areas. We have the area of money getting from CSA 56. How much are we getting to that on the revenue side?
Mm-hmm.
And then on the expense side, how much is the registrar going to go after us on the election costs? So those are two huge unknowns, and both of them dwarf our $16,000 reserve. So, you know, we made some assumptions on both of those.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they go through, great. You know, we're in the positive. If they don't go through, then we're scrambling a little bit. So those are things to figure out.
Okay.
Oh, one last question was, The skate park that we have to pay, the $27,000, when is that actually due?
April.
It's April? 1st of April, the end of April? Is it April Fool's and we pay the...
I thought it was like April 10th or okay. Something. Yeah.
Because that's going to be a chunk.
I'm sure I'll get a notice from them.
Right. And the last thing I'd like to say on this... the budget, the profit and loss that was in the packet, you know, it shows net income $162,000. It's not real. There's a whole bunch of expenses that haven't been put on against that. So, you know, I don't want to mislead people that we're $162,000 in the positive, because we're not really.
Correct. I think my disbursements are a bit closer to our reality.
Right.
But something I just wanted to add, that just a couple of days ago, I finally got the bill for Shannon's service.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And that came to $5,448. And we
$5,400, right?
No, $54.
Oh, okay.
$5,448.
Right.
And we had in the disbursements at $5,280, I believe.
Right.
So we're not too far off.
Okay.
You know, it was the best.
No, that's pretty good.
That was a pretty good guess, yeah.
So,
that's good.
We know that one's going to be done.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a couple other questions, but I'd rather do that offline when we're working on the budget.
Okay.
I have a couple questions about just the numbers that are on the...
profit.
Yeah. The high amount for postage was from dump cards, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Have we spent too much?
And that's something that we're going to end up having to do again here.
We did. Well, we did. We spent too much. I didn't know enough about it, and you know.
So we can reduce that. In the
yeah, we
in
can
the
definitely reduce that.
Okay. And then I wondered about streetlights. Is that is that going to be a consistent number there?
Yeah,
it's pretty stable.
Okay.
It fluctuates a little bit. Close. If you actually listen to the disbursement, you'll see that the fluctuation is only probably within $15-$20. 1 month to the other.
Okay.
I mean, it just fluctuates very, very little.
So that's a pretty reliable number. How about the water for the community center? Is that because of all the leaks? I remember when we started this last summer, it was astronomical.
Yeah.
So is that number going to reduce significantly?
It should. And remember, when we started also, it was summer. So, we're watering everything. So we don't really, there was leaks plus that.
Right. Remember, we have like an $800 bill.
Yeah,
and Leo identified some stuff, and I know you identified more. And
well, we hope this summer that I'm thinking it should be about half.
Okay.
Of what it was last summer.
Right. I'm going to concur with that I think half or maybe slightly less than half.
Okay.
But we have found a lot of leaks. Have all fixed, I'm aware of. We got to remember, too, there is one leak that dent surface by our water meter that finally came to surface after several months. And when water leaks at a pipe like that that's buried several feet down in the ground, by the time it gets to the surface, you have 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 months past. And even though Golden State came out here and looked at things, they didn't see that either. And again, that's kind of something hard to find. But when I saw the wet soil, I knew what was going on, and we did get that repaired. And so that's a major one that got taken care of. We had sprinkler systems that were out of whack, and I have to thank my son Dan for coming out here with me, and he spent a lot of time working on those sprinklers, getting them straight.
Yeah. Okay, great. And my last question is trash for the community center. That made me think about the new trash bins that have been distributed throughout town. Are we paying for those, or where is that coming from?
We're paying for the disposal, and Brent is paying for the transportation.
Okay. So the one that's like at the bottom of Cardinal by the wash and those. Okay.
Right.
So is that included then in this community center trash? Or is
no,
that a separate?
No, that's okay. It's not in there. I mean, it's just part of the mix of what the county of what CRNR is charging us for the disposal of it.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
Then they're
there's a standard
generously giving us the that's
yeah.
Really a generous thing, Brent. Really appreciate
Thank
that.
You.
There's a standard rate of about 170 a month.
Okay.
That we pay for that.
Okay.
And, that doesn't
work.
Okay.
It's pretty much the
same.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Any comments on that? No? All right. Facility rates, discussion, possible action.
I'm going to recuse myself from this conversation.
Why?
Because I'm a primary one of the groups that rents from this facility on a regular basis.
Is that really a conflict?
I'm on the spreadsheet, and
okay.
And after having just completed the ethics training, I'm played on the safe side. And that said, I'm going to use the restroom and then go. You said you unlocked the kitchen, so I'll hang out in the kitchen instead of the patio.
Chicken. Okay, walk us through this, Al. What does it mean for the rates now compared to what it would be?
Well, the chart that you have before you, the chart that you have before you basically has all of our regulars and shows a couple of the ones here type of area.
Pull this mic, yeah.
No problem.
How's this?
Yeah, better. That is better.
Okay.
Anyway, we have our regulars in here, and we have some of the occasional renters. This chart was put together by Michelle because he has access to all the information, and I think he did an excellent job in doing so. But just to get down to the bottom line, so to speak. If you look underneath the column, current rate, that's the current rate that these different entities pay. And if you look at the line suggested rate, which is just a couple over, that's what is being proposed for the rate.
And so right now it's $13.50, and what you're saying is the standard rate would move up to $16.
Overall, yes.
Weekly.
There are some other number adjustments.
This is per hour, right?
Yes, this would be per hour. Some entities, such as the farmers markets or Lions Club, they pay a little extra per month for the use of storage facilities. Some events include the kitchen. What we're looking at right here is purely the rates. And a suggestion by myself and staff is to get rid of the different tiers that we have in rates, because that measures from $13.50 $20? $20 an hour. Different hours of the day or night have different rates, so we just uniformed it. And we came up with 16 by going through what we could figure out what was the actual cost of staff time and facility time and that type of a thing. So that's where we came up with the $16.
Okay. Just to disclose, I am a member of CERT. I am also a board member for the Wrightwood Property Owners Association, just so everybody knows on those two. I notice on here we have, on the current rate, we have CERT at zero, Communication Groups at zero, FireSafe at zero, Neighborhood Watch at zero, Snowline Players at zero, Property Owners at zero, and then we are proposing, you know, rates for them to be increased, and a cost to some of these, well, most of them are all volunteer organizations. And I understand that we have maintenance that needs to be done on our facilities and our buildings. That's just something that's out there. And we're looking at budgets and those type of things, but I would like to put out, and again, I am members of some of those, but you have a couple organizations. The property owners, they, no offense, Randy, but they have, you know, money coming in through donations and also subscriptions. For the newsletter and that type. As far as CERT goes, CERT is basically a volunteer organization that has no revenue coming into it. Whether we can get, and I've talked to Al about this, whether we can get the county Office of Emergency Services to pay the rental fee for CERT under their budget type of thing, and I know Al was looking in to go after them on that. And I did stretch give him the John Ferdin's car for the insurance, or card for the insurance and that type of thing. But, you know, for that type of an organization, anything that they get, whether it's a grant or whatever, they turn around and buy supplies that are going to be used for this community if something happens, if there is a disaster, those type of things. So I would be leery if the county doesn't pick up their portion of the rent to charge them for that. And yes, I am a member, but I would look at them kind of differently because it is a volunteer and they don't receive any monetary money right now. My point of view is all.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sorry, you had a comment?
Oh, no, I'll go after you.
On the ones that are zero, it seems like we should talk to them. I'd really like to hear some of their input. Like, for example, Snowline Players. I mean, every Snowline Players, is they don't pay anything. It says zero here. They don't pay anything. I thought they did.
They pay, and I had a discussion with Michelle, your board member, Laura Simon, just what, 2 days ago, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
And they basically have three organizations, or three groups in that organization.
Yeah.
One of those groups is the...
Yeah, we don't have a forum. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Chuck did tell me before the meeting that he might be receiving an emergency call.
Okay.
So it's not just any call. Can we wait on this then? Can we just...
No, you need to resume it.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me, I got a family thing going on.
Yeah, so. No problem.
And the other one, John, you've done Neighborhood Watch. I know you're not doing it anymore, but you don't get anything from anybody on the Neighborhood Watch, do you? Okay.
And now Al was explaining about, he had a conversation with Laura.
I wanted to explain something, because I didn't know this as a Snowline Players. But they have a youth group that Laura... basically is in charge of, and when they do a performance, they pay either $100 per performance or a percentage of what they receive for the performance.
So they have $100 minimum.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the other two groups fall underneath that, but they haven't been doing it. They haven't been providing $100 per performance or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And in theory, from what I understand, and again, Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, but in theory, from what I understand, that $100 basically covers the 3 days a week that they use this building and other activities that they do in this building as well as the...
Yeah, because they have a lot of practice sessions.
Correct, you know. And they are... an organization that takes a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The other question that I had, Michelle or Al, whatever, is you have these rates for the community building here, then you have the old firehouse, which only seats like about 10, 15 people. Are the rates the same for both buildings?
Well, actually,
they're not.
Right now they are.
Okay.
Currently they are.
Okay.
Proposed wise, if you go back to the next one, item 12, you'll see that there's a difference. The museum old firehouse is at basically 13 for the residents.
Okay.
And for the same reason, it's a smaller facility.
Right. Right.
It doesn't take that much effort and time compared to here. In the main,
right.
The,
okay. Yeah.
Go
okay.
For it.
That's good.
But we kept that adjusted.
That's good.
Now, if I could make another comment, just give you a random thought of what's going through at least my mind on this issue. Does that? I'll just point out, like CERT. When. And believe me, I went through CERT training and that type of thing. I really appreciate the organization. The reason why they have this facility for free is because when they got started, this was a county facility.
Right.
And they just worked out a deal. Okay, this is no longer a county facility.
I understand.
The county, when I asked them for a little freebie here or there, guess what they tell me? Here's your bill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think the CERT team that's here in this community needs to be worried about paying their bill. But I don't see why I shouldn't go down and talk to the county, you know, their emergency services, and say, we need to work this out.
Oh, I have no problem with that at all.
Okay. So it's not, so don't take it personal, CERT player.
Right.
I or anybody else is going after them.
No, I understand that.
And
John, are you under the OES? Office of Emergency, the Fire Safe Council?
The fire?
Because you're on here too as far as the zero. Would you fall under that, the OES?
The Fire Safe Council
yeah.
is a 501c3
and we don't report to anybody in particular.
Okay.
We don't have any ties with San Bernardino County Fire Department, other than we partner with them.
Right, but you have no revenue coming in either.
Correct.
Okay.
CERT does have OES connection, right, and they fall within the parameters, and OES basically furnishes the guidelines for CERT to fall under that.
Right, right. Yeah, we talked to John Ferdin about the insurance and that type of thing, and I gave Al his card. Mm-hmm. Gave Al his card so that he could contact him on the insurance and get a letter from them saying that, yeah, you know, that they do cover him for an authorized meeting, and that Al had talked to me about talking to John about paying for the facility, right, rental.
And my goal, I believe that everybody, every organization, if you look at this list, the vast majority of them, if not all of them, are nonprofit in one way or the other. Okay. Doesn't mean that they don't have revenue. It just means that they have a nonprofit status, IRS fund. I believe that everybody who uses this facility should pay their fair share. Now, with that said, if there's going to be an option or whatever, then that option comes from the board.
Right.
If the board wishes to grant a lower rate or something else, that comes from the board. In the past, through the county, the supervisor, Mr. Millington, he made his own deal.
Right.
He favored this group, he didn't favor that group, blah, 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 blah. In my world, everybody's equal.
Well, in my world, if you are a volunteer organization and you have no revenue coming in, you're volunteering your time, there's no outside revenue coming in to address it other than if they can get donations or that type of thing, it's very tough for me to say you got to pay to use the facility. And I'm one that, you know, I know the maintenance that it entails to keep this facility up. But if they're not getting any revenue anywhere, you know, it's like the property owners, yes, they have subscription. They get, you know, new people every year, and they renew those subscriptions every year. And, you know, they have money there that can come in. You know, the insurance is a separate thing, but they're also dealing with that. But, you know, when you have a volunteer organization that has no revenue whatsoever, it's tough to charge them, because it's coming out of their pockets then, the volunteers. And all we might be doing is driving volunteerism out of Brightwood, which is a big part of this community, is people that volunteer for things and get things done. John Ledoux. You know, there's certain things that are out there, and tough for me to say, yeah, we need to charge them on that, you know, the fire safe. That's just my opinion at this moment in time.
The bottom line is, I'm here to serve the board.
Understand that. I'm saying that to the board, too.
If the board wishes to look at whatever the organization is on an individual basis,
right,
that's your ability.
Right.
You know, I don't make those decisions.
Well, I'm on two of them. One I wouldn't want to charge, the other one I plan on charging. So I think it comes down to what they are.
Keep in mind, Director Franklin, keep in mind that though some organizations don't have a monthly fee or something else, they have grant funds that they go after. They have other funding mechanisms that they go after to get donations,
right,
that they accept, and that becomes revenue as well.
Right. Well, I agree. And if you could get OES to pay for their stuff as an example for CERT, great, go for it.
I you know, this facility, it just takes money to run it.
No, I understand,
Chuck. I mean, it.
I understand. But what do you do with an organization?
I mean, well, then they
do you
have,
just say disband it then?
No,
because they can't afford it.
No, they have the option. They have the option.
The option to what?
They can raise the money to do it. There's ways they can do it. It's not impossible. A lot of people do it.
Can I ask a question about this chart?
Sure.
I see $16 as $16 an hour.
Yes.
Correct.
what is $16 an hour for? Is that for the community center?
Yeah.
That would be for the community.
How much money is the museum?
13
an hour.
And then how much for the parking lot?
The parking lot is basically $16 an hour plus a $5 stall fee. So if somebody, give me an example. We had an organization here just this last Saturday, and they had spaces out in the parking lot. Now, because of the weather, that kind of sizzled on them. But if they had 20 vendors out there, it would be 5 times 20.
How much for Vivian Hall Park?
The Vivian Hall Park is $10.
Is the chart that you're looking at something that's going to be available to us?
It's right here in section 12. We can pack it. Item 12.
Okay. Maybe you got back there. How about liability insurance?
Liability insurance is required very much.
Okay. So none of these people can rent unless they have liability insurance? Is that what's proposed?
Well, that's always been the way that's always been the way it's supposed to be. Always. I mean, that's what the county had also. Now, I don't know if they enforced it for everybody, but that's what they were supposed to do. On the insurance.
Now, something just was talking out there, okay? If the district wished to sponsor an event or a program or something of that sort, then the district's liability insurance could perhaps, it just depends on the scenario, be the coverage. But that, again, that's a state, you know, case-by-case scenario.
For instance, the communications group, it's a 501c3, that's the ham radio operators here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Once a year, we have a fundraiser that we do at the Vivian Knoll Park.
Ah.
We do not have a liability policy, so you're saying basically what's being proposed is the communications group could not use that facility.
Well, in reality, that's always been the case. But, yes.
But going forward is... What are we saying?
But going forward.
So the county, so when you would do this for the county, they didn't ask for insurance?
No.
On that?
No.
Boy, that's not what they told me.
But, yeah.
So, I mean, looking down this list.
We get
liability insurance for the Fire Safe Council is about $2,000. Let's just say, rounding it off, about $2,000 a year.
Is it? Okay.
Yes. So looking down this list, I would say that there's probably half of these people on here, half of these organizations that are on here, that could not afford $2,000 a year for liability insurance.
Actually, on this list, I think we have insurance from everybody, with the exception of a couple.
They do have it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I understood.
If we're going to
vote on this, whatever. I just wanted to say that I agree with Chuck on this. Chuck, I'm just saying that I agree with you on this. I'm having a hard time, you know, I would have a hard time charging somebody who does not have any revenue or any income. I don't know how that would be done, because I do think that it would push the volunteers away, and it might dissolve those organizations from even attempting to do what they're doing. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Yeah.
Comment?
Yeah, sure.
My name is Kurt Watson, and I side with Wes on this, in the fact that what is reasonable and fair, and to turn on these lights right now, there's a cost associated with that,
correct?
There's a cost associated with turning on the water. There's a cost associated with walking through the door, the alarm going off. So I believe that people who realize the value of having an incredible facility like this can somehow, some way, pony up a minimum amount of fee to have the privilege to operate in such a great facility. So back to what's reasonable and fair. For each one, it might be a little different. But if there were an operating or a cost related to whatever it costs to turn the lights on here and keep them on month after month,
yeah,
and the wear and tear on it, and there's some groups that wear and tear a little heavier than others.
Certainly.
So then that has to be appropriated or considered. But that's all I'm considering. So I side with Wes on it.
Well, that's always the case. That's always the case. But I understand the other point of view too. I do. I understand it. It's just always expenses that we have to cover.
If I might, as a representative,
can you state your name there? Just for the record.
Sure, Stretch Suba. As a representative, CERT, if I just want to make sure that I have this correct in my mind, so I can go back to the other division leaders. If we use this facility for 1 hour per month for our monthly meeting, it would be $16.
An hour.
Per hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And, that's all I really need to know, because
we haven't voted on it yet or anything like that. So
the firehouse would be a different rate.
Yeah. Correct? And as far as the firehouse goes, if there is concern among the other division leaders about a cost of it, we could have it at one of our homes.
Yeah.
But just so that I can go back and tell them we're looking at $16 an hour to use this facility. And I understand also, as the gentleman just said, about realizing it costs money to turn it on. So I will go back to the other division leaders and say that this is a possibility.
Okay.
Right.
It's also a catch-22 in one sense, where if we push people away, then that takes away the revenue that we projected for facility rentals. And if people aren't willing to pony up...
I don't see how that could be if they're paying $0.
Well, but we based it on what we were going to be doing in the future as far as rate increases.
Oh, you're saying that they would not...
We're not going to hit
right now we're talking about the $0, but right. You were saying, your point is, if we raise the rate, they could go, hey, that's too much.
If you look at what the budget is and where actuals are right now, we're not going to hit our budget on our projection on facilities rentals, I don't believe. Maybe we will, but I don't
think. How do these rates compare with, say, Phelan, Pinion Hill, CSD?
Same.
They're, in some areas, they're even lower than those two, because I believe meetings ago that Al handed out.
The Wrightwood CSD is lower, or they're lower?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. At the proposed rate.
Even at the proposed, yeah.
2 months ago, I handed out
information
about Hesperia, and Phelan, Pinion Hill.
Right.
Along with our own information, and I did look at others, and they were a good comparison, also being local.
And even with the proposed, we're still a little under those.
So I'd like to get back to the insurance for a minute, because John's concerned that, hey, it's $2,000 a year. Are these guys, you're saying that all these guys have liability insurance? Most everybody on this list has liability insurance.
The board has basically told me that if they don't have liability insurance, they don't.
They can't rent
here.
But is it?
We've been
is it really $2,000? That's what I'm curious what these guys are paying.
Well,
and they're paying how much a year?
I know that people are paying much less.
They are?
Yeah. But I think it depends on the organization and the liability of that organization and so on and so forth.
Hmm.
But often this facility is getting rented. Even the ones who rent it one time, they have to provide some sort of insurance.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a SDRMA requirement and currently a district requirement.
Yeah.
And doing so, I think, 600 to 800 is what a lot of them cover. Somewhere in the window of 600 to 800 is where a lot of them get their insurance rates at.
I'd like to comment on that. I'm Vicki Reinig. I'm a member of the Lions Club. We have two different Lions policies, one with the Lions International, and that one's free, but we had to get a secondary one because we had to have the liquor on there.
Oh, right.
But
yeah.
The insurance with the liquor is also the liability insurance. So it's a total package. It's $1 million umbrella policy, and for the year, it was $465.
Wow, good.
So if anybody wants that agency, I'm glad to provide that information.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Thank
okay.
You.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, come on. Come on up, Lynn.
Lynn Crawford, Pine Hills Quilt Guild. There's something to be said for umbrella organizations that carry liability insurance that you might want to look into. The Pine Needles Quilt Guild belongs to a parent organization called Southern California Council of Quilt Guilds. There's 95 guilds with thousands of members. Yeah, thousands of members. And it was formed specifically to provide liability insurance for quilt guilds. We pay $4 per member per year. We pay $200 for our liability insurance, and we have $1 million coverage. So for those organizations, for example, the Fire State Council, it might be that there's an umbrella organization out there that provides those type of things. The Lions Club, that's coming from their parent organization. So property owners, you know, you guys have yours, right?
No.
You don't? Okay. So I'm just suggesting that you start researching these other organizations that have an umbrella.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you. Is there... Oh. Right, somewhere on the insurance topic now. What we were waiting for is for the last couple of months, you guys have been trying to decide what the rates are going to be, you know, and so on and so forth. The rates, $16 or whatever, that's okay. It was for us the insurance issue, and we've been...
That seems like a bigger issue.
Yeah,
that's
the one that's going to be the showstopper.
Yeah.
Fix the our board meetings, which are small. We just move those to the day over the grind. We get coffee.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds a lot better.
Yeah, and nobody likes to really go out at night. But the one that's going to kill us is what we do with the ice cream social. Is it going to boil down to that the one ice cream social we're going to need? Our last estimate was $1,800 for insurance, or is there property owners? So we're in the middle of that research. That's, you know, now that we know we have to have it, we'll try and find it. It becomes a business decision.
So for you, it's not the hourly rate or anything. It's the insurance is the killer.
Right, right. Especially if, you know, we don't need it now. So we're going through each thing we do. You know, we're looking to pick up Neighborhood Watch from John.
Yeah.
We tip. All those used to be really minor and low risk. What really forced us into having to reconsider all this was two things. One is what we're talking about now, but the other is our Adopt a Highway program. Apparently, we're the official cleanup organization for the highway, and then the insurance question came up, well, what happens if somebody gets run over while we're picking up trash?
Caltrans
cover it? No. So we're in the middle of this. Insurance is the killer.
Yeah.
Or the unknown at this point.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting.
Wes, is there a way that we could vote on just the proposed rates without getting into the specifics of who gets a pass or not a pass type of thing? Because I'm fine on the rates going up from the 13 to the 16 or the 12 to the 10, you know, whatever it may be. I don't have a problem with that. And
well,
the only reason I'm saying it, Al, is because I got a family thing that I'm going to have to leave shortly, and we need three votes.
I don't think we're going to vote on this tonight.
Okay.
Okay. Fine. So I don't think we're going to do that. I think I don't think we'll take action on that. I think we got to think about this a little bit, and probably need a more refined.
Okay.
I mean, this is good data.
Right.
This is good data and helps us ask a lot of questions about it, but I think we need a refined package on something to vote on, and especially, you know, we have a lot of exceptions here, as we pointed out, all these guys with zero, and, you know, I mean, we all have a soft spot in our heart for one or more of these.
Right.
And it is tough, you know. I mean, Snowline Players, that's, man, it's a tough one.
The information you have in front of you, this is FYI.
Right,
right.
If you're voting on this tonight.
No, we're not.
If you're voting on this tonight, then you're not voting on who gets what rate.
Right.
Okay, you're just voting on all this really is. You go from 1350 to 16. That's all this is about.
Right.
1350 to 16 and 1350 to 13 for the museum. That's all this is about. All this other factor you guys may end up dealing with on an individual basis at next month or other month's meetings.
Right.
But, you know, not to confuse the whole thing.
This moment in time, the one thing that is not negotiable is having some type of insurance
right.
in order to rent a facility.
Right.
But that's
always been the case.
Well, yeah, but the county never upheld
it. They did. With the exception of John, there might have been one other one. But they were really into that was one thing we found out.
Really?
Yeah, that they were pretty hard on that.
Okay.
So for instance, this baby shower here, this individual person, they bring like their homeowner's insurance or something, or how do they get their insurance?
Activity, I believe it was based. They just got a rider on their homeowner.
Okay.
If I may interject here. A couple of things. The way the item has been agendized, this kind of maybe gets to the general manager's point. The item has been agendized as first a discussion of the rates, and you have a director that has recused herself from that particular issue. The second issue involves the agreement, and that's where the insurance provision kicks in connection with the agreement. I do not believe that Director Schneider has recused herself from that issue, so I think her input on insurance issues would be certainly valuable, and so I think that's why, maybe partly why, the issue has been somewhat bifurcated, and I think that's where the general manager hit back on that, is on this particular agenda item for which Director Schneider has recused herself, the only issue is the rates, and whether or not the board is happy with those rates or wishes to discuss that more or take action, that's certainly within the board's discretion. The issue of the contract or the insurance is part of that, I think would be valuable to have Director Schneider's input on that.
And I don't think the increase in the rates is outrageous or anything, and based on the information Al gave us a couple months ago, we are certainly lower than the other CSDs that are out there that have been charging the information that I saw.
All right.
Again, my whole issue is the exceptions, you know, but the rates themselves, I'm not, you know, blown away by.
What do you think of the rates, Natalie?
I think that they're fair.
So going from $13.50 to $16 bucks as
I
a standard
mm-hmm.
and not having a different rate based on the hour of the day and all that, you know, kind of cleans it up.
Yes, definitely. No, I think that's fair.
Okay. I mean, we could vote on that, right?
If you have a motion in a second. Otherwise.
Okay. Can I have a motion to, let's try it out. Can I have a motion to standardize the rate for the community building at $16 an hour, and the fire museum at what's rate again?
$13
an hour.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, motion carries. So we'll set that at the new rate.
Just as a comment.
Yeah.
You didn't address the kitchen, the security, the Vivian Noel Park stage. All you addressed was the museum and the community center.
Yeah, okay,
that's
correct.
The next agenda item that will be discussed.
Yeah.
With Director Schneider.
Okay.
Three people.
Okay. Thanks, Chuck.
I apologize,
appreciate it.
But
I have a family issue I've got to deal with.
No trouble.
So, sorry.
Thank you. See you later, Chuck. We have to do. We have to announce anything for the record or anything like that. Okay. Outside. Stall. Okay, so the facility use agreement, is that what we're moving on to, or do we want to go to this? We can. Is that really part of these rates for the Vivian Noel kitchen and the outside and the stall? We can have a separate motion for that if we want to do that.
Well, my suggestion is that the manner in which staff has put together the agenda material with respect to item number 12.
Microphone.
Well,
with respect to item number 12, the manner in which staff put together the agenda materials has those items as part of the board's discussion of facility use. So
it is? Out. Okay, so that's under item 12?
Yes.
That's okay. Under. All right, so moving on to item 12, facility use agreement. Okay, so these are all proposed now? Is that what I'm looking at?
Everything is proposed, and we kind
okay.
of give you a little overview, and I thank the board for your last vote on establishing the base rate. If you look on these rates here, on the rental fee schedule
mm-hmm.
on page 20, we have it broken down for the community building on Mondays through Fridays at 16, on weekends or holidays at 20, for non-residents at 20 and 25. The old firehouse museum, 13, Flat Cross, and 15 for non-residents. The parking lot itself, $16 for residents. Plus, like I mentioned just a little while ago, the craft beer has some vendors outside, and so a $5 fee per stall.
And what about farmers market? They fall under that, right?
They would fall underneath that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you talked to them about that? By the way, have you said, "Hey, here's what we're thinking about doing these rates"? Anybody talked to them?
I personally do not have.
Okay. Okay.
Vivian Noel Park stage. Now the stage has a power to it, and it obviously needs maintenance and that type of thing as well. But the county was kind of hit and miss on who used the stage, whether or not they required insurance, whether or not they charged the fee, or anything else. And it was very, very hit and miss. Well, we don't want to do that. We want to be very open and transparent to the community. And so we came up with $10, I think is a fair minimum charge for residents, 12 for non-residents. We have power there. We have lights there that can be used.
Is the power on all the time there, or they have to request that?
No, I have it turned on.
Okay.
It was on all the time. We had some some activity that
extension ruined. Cords running from there.
We had extension cords, but loose wire, open wire.
Yeah.
We had some vandalism on the electric box. We had exposed wires.
Yeah.
I had that fixed. One of the first things I ever did as your manager, I put a strong half and a lock on it, and we haven't had that problem since. But just in case, I've turned the power off to this system. I need to have the power on.
Right. That's a good idea.
For some reason, it was on all the time.
Yeah, okay.
On the kitchen fees, we've actually kind of lowered them. Before, it was $50 per hour, $150 per day. And what we came up with was two different things. Some people, some organizations, or some people, you know, with their activity, they want to use the kitchen for storage, the sinks, the refrigerators, that type of thing, but they have no use for the stove. They don't need to use the stove. And for that type of service, it seems to be fair at $25 per event and $30 for non-residents. For full use of the kitchen,
oh, I see.
Including the stove, which was gas and cleaning of the stove and everything else, $50 and $70.
How are you going to manage that? You just start, it's just that you're just going to ask them, check it off on the form, and
pretty much,
and hope they don't use the stove.
We have to spot check them and see what they are. Well, then,
yeah. Okay.
We know what's going on with that.
Okay.
Now there's a cleaning deposit that we have in here. The county has always had a cleaning deposit. It was, I believe, $200, $150. Okay, with $150, so we're keeping that $150 as a standard facility use cleaning deposit.
Mm-hmm.
But for special events, a special event could be things like Mountaineer Days, or the Classic Car Show, or other big events that use the full facility on a day or weekend that increase staff time and increase a lot of things. We've created actually a special event deposit of $500, and the reason why we have that number is often we end up having to clean through again.
Right.
Go through again.
It's a major.
It can be a major thing.
Yeah.
Now, granted, if the organization does their own self cleaning, they get the deposit back.
Right.
You know, it's not. We're going to keep $500 of your money. If they do what they...
I'd much rather have them...
I'd rather have them...
Clean the place up.
Use their own thing.
Right.
And I don't want to pick on any particular organization, but we had that situation back at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And the organization failed to do what they
right.
promised to do.
And the CSD got blamed for it, as I recall.
The CSD got blamed for it, but we had to clean up the
mess. Yeah. Right. Okay.
So that's basically where we're at.
Can I have a clarification? Is that per hour?
On what?
Which part?
On the kitchen.
Yeah, per hour.
No, per event.
Per event.
Oh.
It says per event. Right?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Oh, per event. Yeah.
And a clarification, for instance, for the wildfire disaster awareness event, we use the entire parking lot. Where does that rate fall?
But
when
you don't...
When you
don't,
say per stall...
You don't have any stalls, so you wouldn't.
What's
pay for
a stall
that.
Represent?
Like a booth, like a 10x10
vendor
parking spot.
Okay. So we use the whole parking lot. Is that what rate then?
I would probably say that would be a special event, and we can work something out. Yeah. You know,
because we use the Vivian Hall facility or park also.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, the per stall thing is intended because, like Farmers Market, they charge all the people that come, you know, per stall. And so they get a lot of people out there, a lot of vendors out there. And so we'd like a piece of that.
Okay, that's not
why.
A fire truck with a
no.
with a booth.
No, because you're not renting to them. You're not saying, hey, to put your fire truck here, we're going to rent this spot to you. Like you would at the farmer's market.
That's my personal opinion, and that's all of you. Now, I have sat on the board of the Fire Safety Council. I've put a lot of hours in, just like you have. Actually, you've done a whole lot more than I have in that particular event. I know what it takes. And I know it's all the fire services, everybody's doing something. I would, as a GM, would approach the board to work out something for that particular event.
Okay.
Because I think that particular event...
I was just trying to figure out, because it's not very far off, and
right.
If there's going to be a big fee involved...
First weekend in May?
Pardon me?
First weekend in May?
Second. May the 12th,
for sure. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Sean. Okay. Anything else?
I just wanted to explain that to you.
Okay.
Also, on these other pages,
can I ask one more clarification then?
So when the Ice Cream Social or the Lions Easter Breakfast, and we have 5 hours, we use the kitchen, the facility, that's $130 for the one-day event.
Mm-hmm.
The breakfast, we barely make that much money. So that would mean we just wouldn't do it.
Okay, thank you.
That's something I wanted to comment on as well.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, is that if you look at pages 21, 22, and 23 is basically the agreement that the various organizations would fill out for either a monthly event or a weekly event or whatever it is that they're doing. If the Lions Club is using the facility every Wednesday, blah, 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 then that would be covered in here. But we also have these other items that page 22 and page 23 that I think are vitally important for clarity. A lot of this stuff that was already in existence, but the way it was being presented was not necessarily clear. And this format really makes it very clear. I have a spot where they initial, that they understand this, that, or the other. Some of it pertains to various organizations, some of it won't. So they only have to deal with the ones that that pertain to their particular organization or event, baby shower.
Is there a place in this agreement that outlines exactly what's expected for cleaning the kitchen? Because we've in the years that I've been here and been a part of using the kitchen and following other groups in that have used the kitchen and hearing when it's been cleaned properly, which is rare, and when it hasn't, which is common. And there's things like removing those mats in there and sweeping that groups do not think about, and the grease in the stove, all sorts of stuff.
That's an excellent point. Now, on the door right now, we have a list. We're in the process of updating that and making it again. I want to make things very, very clear and transparent for everybody to simply understand that if you use that kitchen, please do X, Y, Z.
Yes.
My kids, when I raised my kids, and they borrowed somebody else's car, I said, you bring that car back with a full tank of gas, and if something breaks, it's on you. Well, the same thing here. If you're using that kitchen, if you're using this facility, if you don't want to pay a
But there isn't a general description.
There
what,
is.
I mean, what Michelle's asking
is 22.
Okay.
Six bullet point down.
Okay.
Not to the extent that I'm asking. No.
The facility and outside areas, including restrooms and kitchens, shall be left in the same condition as they were prior to the event.
Right. And what I'm saying is, I don't think that cuts it for the kitchen. I think we've got to have, and you're talking about specifics that are on the wall, so I think it would be appropriate if we're going to have the cleaning instructions on the wall to reference that in the contract. But my experience with people who have used the kitchen and not cleaned it up properly, and not our regular groups, people that have rented it for an event, is that, well, we weren't told exactly what to clean. We weren't
Correct.
Specifically asked to remove the mats or to do this, and it's things that not everybody thinks about. Even if you go in and try to leave it as good or better than you found it.
Correct.
I mean, even with that, I think that having something outlined beyond that one sentence that's in here.
Pretty cool. We are working on trying.
But we can make reference to that in here. We can even add it as an attachment.
Okay.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. I'd like to make a clarification for an example on the Lions Club. Say we make $130 on an event. Every penny of that $130 goes to some kind of charity. We're not allowed to keep any of it. And I think that's an important point here. So we're giving of our time and we're putting on the event, but not a penny do we keep.
Okay, thank
what
you.
What has the group historically been charged for that breakfast? Because you said the kitchen fee's going down.
Well, we had, the county gave us a discount on the kitchen
per
event. We got a 70% discount for the quarter. We would basically use it for bingo. Bingo, we make maybe $80 in snacks. But we're still spending $50 in food. So we make $30 and then we have to pay $50 in the kitchen. That's, you know, that was what a lot of other clubs are facing too. And Easter is the same thing. We have the county would, I say, they would give us that 70% discount on those events. So I'm thinking if the board would consider some kind of grant, maybe a form that they could submit to explain the situation and what they made the previous years and the benefits to the community so that the board then could make a decision on discounting the rents, whether it be use of the kitchen or sponsoring an event to help pay for the insurance, like the Ice Cream Social. If that was a joint venture with the CSB, and the Property Owners Association, they wouldn't have to pay for the insurance for that one day.
I think that's a great idea to have some sort of form developed for groups that want to have their event reviewed for an exception to whatever policy we have.
Sure.
And then that can apply to anything from CERT to anybody else who's got something. Because, you know, it's one thing to offer a show to a town. It's another thing to offer fire safe stuff, and I mean, there's all levels of how people contribute to the town and impact it. Overall, I think this looks, I think it's a definite improvement. And I didn't see anything that needed to be removed.
Yeah, I agree.
So we could basically make a reference to the cleaning task of the kitchen, and once we probably get that document finished, we can have that as an attachment on what they're for those who are going to use the kitchen. Because if you're not going to use the kitchen, you don't need to.
So I don't see any real, you know, T's and C's in here other than. I'd like to see some kind of clause in here that says that whoever has this agreement or signs this agreement can't sublet it. They can't sublet to somebody else.
Great point.
Good point.
also a question. You've got the PA system request in there, but I didn't see anything about a difference in fee for PA system. Is there?
I don't think so, if I remember right.
So you're just inquiring whether they'll be using it, but there's not an additional charge to use it, or?
Currently, there's a $15 charge. We overlooked it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it should be there because you have to prep that. And
that's a per event charge?
Plus, if somebody, this microphone, the one in front of me, they both have been dropped in the past. If we end up having, if somebody drops that microphone,
mm-hmm.
is somebody going to say, I'm paying for it?
Mm-hmm. So is there a deposit into the PA system, or is it a strictly a per event charge? Or
That would be the...
Can it really come out of the cleaning deposit? Shouldn't it be called deposit then? And, right, Steve?
Security.
I mean, can't really,
security.
Oh, security deposit. Oh, okay. All right.
Lynn Crawford, Quilt Guild. Last fall, we had some issues with getting the PA system set up for when we had our guest speakers, and I don't know if that was ever actually resolved. And the issue of paying for it, would we pay for it each time, or would we have to specify that once we're having a guest speaker, so we can and make sure that's set up? Because I need to tell my people to let you guys know what's going on with the PA. Generally, they want it every month just because our ladies are getting older and they don't hear very well. But I don't think they want to pay for the PA system every month, so we'd like a clarification on that when that's resolved. And who, and if we are going to get it, will it be set up for us when we walk in the door type of thing?
Well, in the last couple of months, I have set it up.
You have? Okay.
I've set it up right over there. I use that.
Perfect. I haven't been to the last two meetings yet, Al.
I'm just letting you know. I put it on the stage behind the curtain.
Okay.
They knew it was there.
Okay.
They used it. They put it back, and I took it down.
Okay. All right, good. Because I know last fall we had a problem. But like I said, I haven't been to the last two meetings. So, all right, good. Thanks.
No problem.
On the PA system, is the concern strictly in terms of damage microphones? Or, I mean, for example, if a group brings in their own microphone and simply uses the hookup?
No.
Here's my concern.
No.
Here's my concern, okay? The microphone is a concern. Those microphones are with a higher dollar concern. Those plug units, okay, one thing I don't really like about them being located where they are is a lot of dirt and stuff gets in there. That's why I put a towel in there. If somebody was on that stage and dropped some liquid in there, it could create more problems. We have an expensive unit over here that we have to use. If somebody misuses that unit, who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, I don't think we should allow people just to hook whatever they want into the system.
Yeah.
So then, in order to use the PA system, they can only use these mics.
Yeah, that's what I would recommend. Absolutely, because you got to have the right.
I think that's going to be a problem when it comes to the events where you've got, like, you know, I mean, Music of the Pines did their winter show, and you've got a bunch of performers, and they've got way more mic needs than what we've got.
Well, I mean, that's something
but
that
plugging into our system, aren't they? They're probably bringing their own system.
Yeah,
their
you're
own,
right. Yeah, largely,
would,
they bring their
so,
own.
Yeah,
yeah.
Their own amps and stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point.
At one time, and I don't ever remember plugging into the amps.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, so you're going to get back to us on those things, and we'll do that next time then, right?
Are you going to approve this tonight with those stipulations?
But there's a lot of stipulations. Like, it doesn't have the T's and C's, can't put in that, you know, can't sublet. I mean, I'd like to see the whole agreement.
Well, we're delaying this another month.
Wow, I really would like to see the whole agreement.
Okay. That's the rule of the board.
Unless you guys feel differently about it.
No, I agree. I'd like to see it sent
off. Okay.
I'd like to see the agreement, but I'm also curious the impact it has for you guys to be able to move forward.
Well, right now, we'll be delaying the security arrangements that I need to get taken care of.
So the codes for the...
The codes and that type of stuff. I mean, I'm serious. There's been times, not a lot.
But you can still do that. You can still change the keys and do all that stuff on the security stuff. What's you don't need us to do that.
Our goal is that once you approve a new agreement, that every organization is going to have that new agreement. When they come in with the new agreement, then either Michelle or myself, and probably more Michelle than me, we'll give them a walkthrough, show them what we need to do at the kitchen, what we're looking for with the microphones, what we're looking for the building, how these chairs get so beaten up because people don't know how to stack them.
But you can still do that now. I mean, you can still walk them through those kinds of things right now. You can still change the keys. You can still change the alarm codes. You can still do all that stuff.
It'd just be more uniform. So.
I think the walkthrough needs to come when this is complete.
Okay.
To make sure you're covering everything.
Correct.
Okay, but I wouldn't let it hold you up on the alarm codes, and that's all stuff that's just logistical stuff that needs to be done no matter what.
Okay.
And that and the keys and all that could be done anytime. Okay. Item 13, director's comments. You guys have any comments?
I've personally been talking with Al to coordinate a meeting with the Field and Pinion Hills CSD Parks and Rec Department to explore their Parks and Rec Department and just get some ideas on things that we can do in the future. So that's what I'm working on right now.
And so are you just starting on that, or?
No, I've been doing independent research, but I'd like to meet with them in person and you know, talk to them about how they do it there and see if there's a way, you know, that we could work together somehow in the future, because some of the ideas that I have, I think, would be more successful if it was in partnership with Phelan and Pinion Hills, because Wrightwood is so small, and I think if we wanted to expand Parks and Rec offerings and have more participation, it would work with having like a tri-community type league or event or something.
Rivalry.
So, I'm sorry?
Or a rivalry.
Yeah. Or a rivalry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, I think it sounds really good. I'm looking forward to that.
So I don't have anything ready yet, but there are people in the community that are doing their own research as well. A lot of... you know, have interest in different types of programs, sports. I'm personally interested in adult sports, extracurricular adult sports, and so that's what I'm working on. But there are a number of people in town that are also doing research, and I think their goal is to bring that to the CSD when it's buttoned up and ready to present.
Okay, that's neat. Any comments, Michelle?
Thanks for your work on the rental agreement, figuring out the details around that, the size of that,
no? Yeah. Okay. Item 14, future board meetings and agenda items.
Well, we'll be bringing back the real estate box, the few adjustments, modifications that we were on.
Yeah.
We'll be bringing those back. but working on a, because it's really important now, working on an employee manual. And I'd actually ask the board if you'd form an ad hoc committee to review that manual. I've got most of it finished, but I would like to have some eyes from the board on it just to make sure that everything's good with that.
Like an employee handbook? Is that what something like that? Okay.
Employee handbook.
Did you get one from somewhere and as a template, or
of course.
Where did this
did
come
you
from?
You that for
yeah. Where did it come from?
From Phelan being an L.
Oh, okay.
Probably our program.
Okay.
But they got it from some other areas.
Okay.
And but anyway, that manual harassment policy, we really need to have that. Some of the policies that deal with the employees, I'm going to have on the agenda for next month. Plus, what would you consider?
And so what do you need the ad hoc committee for? Or what's that?
I would love to have the ad hoc committee review the employee manual.
Okay.
It's about, when it's finished, it's probably going to be about 60 to 80 pages.
Can we volunteer a director that's not here?
Can we actually even form that tonight since it's not on the agenda? Or
the president can form ad hoc committee.
Excellent.
Okay.
You said you can form it, so.
Can I form it without me on it? Whatever.
You have a vice president.
Well, there's only two people here. So do you guys want to? I do not have time for that. So it would be.
I do not have time in this month between. Anyway, the amount of performances we
so
have.
Just
I really
Natalie?
Don't, and I really don't have much time either.
So just you then.
So in March. No, in April my time frees up more. But
I really need to get this done now.
Okay, I'm getting ready to be out of the state for
really
10 days.
Need to get this done now. So if you don't mind, I'll fulfill the mail, and would it be good to have Mr. Kennedy look at it?
Well, let me ask you. What I mean, if it's a standard template and a standard, you know, I've seen a few of these things, and they're terribly thick and terribly boring. And you know, I mean, it's. I mean, what do we need to review? I mean, it's pretty standard stuff nowadays, right?
Well, you just really need to nudge me, like when you haven't finished. But no, I mean, if you just want to have one board member do it, I just would like to have another set of eyes.
I see.
I think this is something very important for this district.
Okay.
It's very important for our employees, whether we have one or whether we have 100 of them. It's a good basis.
Yeah.
And it's something that we're lacking.
Steve, is there a standard protocol around this, or any history?
What are the how many hours do you estimate you would spend on this?
Well, I think depending upon the document that the general manager produces, the employee manual that Phelan Pinion Hills has is a document that I was involved in drafting.
Yeah.
It was not, though, it was not largely drafted by myself. It was largely drafted by staff. But I was involved in that, so I'm familiar with the document. My guess is that a number of the references to full-time employees and that kind of thing, which is a bulk of what that document looks like, is would be stripped away. So I think it would be not as voluminous as the Phelan Pinion Hills one. Right. So I would not think that it would take a long time to review. I'm not sure what policy input an ad hoc committee could have into that document.
Yeah.
But Al did ask me beforehand and if I would review it, and I said that's up to staff and up to the board to if that's how you want.
I just don't want to run up the bill.
Right.
If I knew kind of, is it 10 hours? Is it?
No, it will not be 10 hours.
Would it be five? I'm not trying to bully you into a deal here.
Yeah, it would not be more than five.
I would say go ahead then. I would say that would be what we'd want.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We don't need a motion for that or anything, right?
No.
Okay.
We need a. Make sure the website's on the next agenda and the logo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what's our next meeting date?
April 3rd.
April 3rd, you missed it by two. How many?
Is it April 3rd?
April 3rd, 7 o'clock. Okay?
Be here, be square.
Okay. All right, if there's nothing else, the meeting's adjourned.